always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, not live today because I recorded about 6 hours ago and Harrison and I could only record right now. It is a Wednesday morning, the following morning after the Lakers lost to the Orlando Magic in such an annoying fashion that I tweeted that I hate this team. I haven't done that, Harrison, in years.
There's no way it's been years, right?
I don't think I've tweeted that I hate this team.
See, this is where we miss the comment section because one of them would go search it and find it from like October, you know, 2024, like last year.
Yeah, no, I think I'm probably going to do that thing that they do on YouTube where you can what's it called? Premiere it or whatever. So there will be technically a comment section. So hit me in the comments if you guys can find a tweet me saying I hate this team from last year. But yeah, the Lakers lost to the Orlando Magic last night. They are below 500 since the trade deadline. And remember, after the trade deadline, Rui Hachimura was like, "We're stoked. We all know we're part of this team. Here we go." My concern now, I was thinking about it this morning, my concern now is we know this team rolls over, right? Like, we know that this is, you know, not exactly a team that boasts, fortitude in any real way.
Yeah, so, they just, their x-rays and scans just came back. There were no dogs in sight.
No dogs to be seen.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've been thinking this morning, is it time to get a little nervous that they might let go of the rope? Like, the West isn't as daunting as it used to be. Phoenix is dealing with injuries. Golden State is tanking. The Clippers, I do think, will be able to rip off a few wins. But at any time, they can shut Kawhi down and their season can go that way. So, like, I don't think you might see the precipitous fall down the West as you might in normal years if the Lakers let go of the rope. But that you would still like to enter the postseason, stay out of the play-in game. You'd like to enter the postseason with a little bit of momentum. Are you concerned that they might let go of the rope here, given that, you know, it's a whole bunch of guys who are on the final year of their contract? They know that the Lakers have been basically talking ever since the trade deadline about how they are looking forward to cap space, which means
how they're going
to
use the money that those guys are currently making on other players.
Right. Yeah. JJ Redick got his extension after one season that seems to be kind of a golden parachute. So I'm not even sure how invested in him they are. And all the while you have Lon Rosen yesterday, like anytime a new executive has to be like, "Yo, yeah, totally. The Rob's sticking around. Yeah, everybody, we're just here paying attention. It's like if you have ever been in a classroom where the principal sits in on your teacher, you know, and it's like, "Don't mind me, I'm not here." And the whole time, everybody's like looking back at the
like, "Don't mind me, Mrs. Yeah. Jenkins is just up for performance review."
Right. She's about to be tenured and we want to make sure that, you know, she should. So, like, are you getting a little nervous about where this season might be heading?
So, to answer your question about letting go of the rope, like, you know, it's not to go to Rob Pelinka on everyone here, but no, I'm not concerned about that because this team is not going to do anything even if they hold on to the rope. And so, you know, I think if they've realized that and they're, you know, again, like this is a team, this is a guy who's like, who constantly tells the team, "You're not worth investing in. We want the flexibility from you guys moving on," you know, all of this stuff, then it's like, yeah, like if they let go of the rope, it's like they're only following the example of the head of the snake and saying that, like, "Hey, we're playing for next year." And, you know, again, I that's not even to say that that's a bad plan. I don't think that this team was going to win a title. And so, you know, but it's also like these guys are human beings and they know, you know, like they're looking around and they're like, Luke Kennard, that's it. And Luke Kennard's like, wait, what do you say fuck me for? And, you know, it's.
Kennard's been good, too. That's such a bummer. Like, imagine if they had added Kennard and like a starter. Like,
I am saying Kennard is driving me crazy with the pump and drives like to nowhere where he will, you know, pump fake out of an open three, drive towards the paint, pivot seven times. And then like there's just no advantage. And so it's like a bailout pass that hopefully makes it to Luka. You know, so yeah, I'm not really that concerned about them letting go of the rope, like just because like I think, you know, again, like I don't know how much this team was going to accomplish anyway. So it's not like DEFCON 1. Like I'm really, really worried about this. Obviously, I don't want to watch a Lakers team that has quit, but they do that all the time. And so how different would it be from, you know, the efforts that they've put forth this season when they've encountered like, you know, like a not even like a full hurdle to jump over. They've encountered like, you know, like a crack on the ground. Like just like a sidewalk divot, and they're like, I don't know.
They see somebody like constructing a hurdle, and they're like, Nah, we're good.
Oh man, yeah. They see like a construction coming soon, and they're like, I don't know if I want to walk that way. That's you know. and can I?
Yeah,
just,
I like. I get what you're saying. One, I do think you can get worse, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, it probably can, and you know. On the Lon Rosen thing, I also wanted to touch on really quick. It's just, you know, it is funny that they're like, no, we trust our basketball executive. Like, Rob's got it. We totally trust him. Don't worry. We're just going to bring his biggest hater around to give us a little bit of advice. You know, he's not going to have a formal role, so no accountability. You can't get mad at him. But, like, I'm sure he's going to have nothing but nice things to say about Rob's ideas. And also, we're going to have him report to our baseball GMs. That we trust more even in basketball than him. But don't worry about it. We trust him. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. The whole thing, like...
Also, Twitter, I'm the head of business saying this, that, you know, the GM, he's good. It's fine.
Well, that was the thing. Was like, I thought... I literally said on the pod that I, you know, Andy and I recorded our conversation yesterday, earlier before Lon Rosen was due to speak to reporters. And I hadn't heard that Lon was going to talk or anything like that. So had I known, I might've waited a little while just to see like what he said, why he was speaking, all of that good stuff. And I had said to Andy that like, yeah, technically he's business. So like, I'm hoping he kind of stays over there because like my number one criticism of the Lakers is like, how not partitioned they are, you know, like Pete always talks about how, and you and I always joke about how like Gary Vee used to be like their head trainer and also their air traffic controller, you know? And like, I want business to stay over there. Like Tim Harris was annoying because he would factor business into basketball decisions. And I don't want that. I want Lon Rosen to stay over there. I want the fucking Dodgers people to stay over there. Like you guys are Dodgers people. It's Jen roots for the Saints and shit. Like the Lakers got Anthony Davis from the Pelicans in no small part due to the sharing of stuff between the Pelicans and the Saints, where at one point the Pelicans were employing the Saints med team, which specializes in football, to help with basketball stuff. And wouldn't you know it, Harrison, they dealt with some injuries. And so it's like I look at the way that this stuff came out yesterday, and it might be that like the frustrations from last night are still kind of spilling over because I can't even say that I slept on it all that well because I was up. I go to bed till like 3 a.m.
I legitimately went to bed earlier than you, but I went to bed mad. I was just like, that was a stupid game. I am angry about how it ended. Yeah.
Like I hit it. Like I punched a door and I'm supposed to golf on Friday and I'm concerned for my hand. Like it's just, I've been sitting on this. Like, why was I so angry about last night's game? And part of it's because, like, all right, you were hoping that they would bounce back after being embarrassed the way that they were by the Celtics on Sunday. part of it. But I think the biggest part of it is just like, and the reason that I sent out that tweet, like, I hate everything about this team, is like, I you go down the list of things that, like, I just do not like in like society and sports and stuff like that. And you have like the nepotism that obviously we know is rampant with the Lakers, the cronyism, right? Where, and it's also like, everybody is operating so selfishly, and it's so like visibly selfish, where I was talking to somebody about the JJ Redick hire like last week. And I threw out the theory of like, oh, I don't think it was ever a LeBron hire. I don't think they hired JJ Redick to appease LeBron. I think they hired JJ Redick so that if it went poorly, they could pin it on they LeBron. They know LeBron. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lakers fans would eventually like connect the dots and was like, oh, they just hired him for LeBron anyway. And like you have that going on. You have the keep your job Rob stuff that always kind of drives me nuts. And like right as the Lakers sell, and there's finally this glimmer of hope at the end of the tunnel, it winds up being a freaking train that's coming back at you because, oh, guess what? Like this organization that has been far too insulated and only talks to like four people, guess who they're bringing in to clean things up? One of those four people and his agent in Magic Johnson and Lon Rosen. And it's like, you know, look, I'm going to go into it with an open mind. I'm going to see what these guys can actually do. But I wouldn't say that things are off to like this great start. And mind you, all of this is going on, Harrison, while like Rob Pelinka is telling us that he and Jeannie Buss are going to head up the efforts to modernize the organization. Who do you guys know to talk to? Like what type, and also like it's flying in the face of the way that both of you guys have always wanted to operate. So I don't know.
Well, they're going to add, you know, they have somebody with experience building a new culture with a legacy team and one of the NBA's iconic franchises. I think they're just going to go to Kurt Rambis and be like, when Phil was trying to set the culture in New York, what was step one, two, and three? And like, how did you guys change the culture over there?
Yeah. Or I hope somebody steps up and was like, they changed the culture by firing you.
Kurt, when you came in with the Wolves, what do you think, like, what did you do to really boost morale around the organization, sort of clean things up, build in some championship habits?
A lot of Brazzers. So, like, the thing that, like, I want to, like, go back to as far as, like, the actual basketball and stuff like that is, like one thing that I've been kind of I haven't been charting it personally. Krantzis has been charting it, and it's something that I think is worth paying attention to over the course of the rest of the season, which is the organized offense.
Say that you've been charting it yourself. Just, you know, you've been
sitting on
the clipboard.
Yeah.
You've been diagramming the plays as the Lakers run them.
I sit there. I finished recording last night at like 3 a.m. And I fired up the game again, and I charted how many possessions they called.
I actually would love to hear what your organized offense count is, because like it would be like I know Krangis's process is like he rewatches the games, he looks for like signs that there's like calling out a set, you know, all that stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
I think like you would just stare at the screen and be like, that didn't look organized to me. And
well, that is kind of the problem that they run into, and I think it's something that like even their organized sets, I think that like the productivity from those sets might actually start dipping, because like I am nervous that like if you're Marcus Smart, or if you're Rui Hachimura, or if you're Luke Kennard, or if you're DeAndre Ayton, if you're LeBron James, like this is the one that really makes me nervous. Did you see the report from the guy in Miami? Is it Skolnick? No, I forget.
Yeah, Ethan Skolnick, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, where he was like, the word out there is that LeBron to Cleveland in a sign and trade this summer is where things might be heading. Like, once we start getting specifics about like how LeBron might depart, because to this point, it's been like, I don't really know how he would get there and still make anywhere close to the amount of money that he would probably want to make. And once you start seeing like, oh, this is actually that they would consider doing, which I didn't think that they would for 1 year of LeBron, but still, you know, like once you start hearing some of the specifics, you're like, oh. And we know, based on all of LeBron's time here, the Lakers, from like a vibes standpoint and an effort and engagement standpoint, tend to go as LeBron goes. So yeah. if LeBron starts kind of looking, you know, at the exits and starts kind of like, you know, leaning that way. Like I thought it was, did you see after last night's game where I think it was David Menemen. He was like, yeah, while like the post game scrum is like, hold on, guys, I got to check on this backswing.
Like, now watch this drive. Just
but like, did you see Dave asked Luca about that last play, and he was like, "Have you and LeBron spoken about that last play yet?" And Luca's just like, "No." And I'm like, "Huh."
That, you know, doesn't, see, to me, that doesn't raise that many alarm bells, because he's always going to say no there, even if they have talked about it, because it's like he doesn't want to get into the specifics of what they talked about or what they said or whatever. Like, you know, Luca does not enjoy the media aspect of this at all. And so, like, I wouldn't take that as necessarily gospel that, like, there was zero discussion of it in the locker room whatsoever. Like, I mean, again, I'm not sitting here saying those guys sat down and.
Would you be surprised if there wasn't any conversation about it? I don't see those two guys interact on the court at all.
I wouldn't be shocked, but I also think that, like, you know, again, like, LeBron has been in that position before. And so, like, he's going to understand, like, oh, yeah, Luka just, like, didn't realize, like, he had, like, quite as, like, he thought that he had more time than he did when he was passing the ball to me, and he accidentally threw me a grenade, and oops. Like, you know, I think, yeah, I mean, obviously, that's a play Luka's going to want back. That was, like, one of the worst executed end-of-game sets I think I've ever seen. You know, brain farts happen.
It reminded me of Tragic Johnson, actually, from way, way back in the day.
You know what it actually reminded me of? I thought LeBron was going to do the J.R. Smith arms at Luka, like, after.
That would have been great. Well, that's what the Lakers do on every play to the referees, to be fair. They're like,
yeah.
Every single play. And they're like, what? No, I also chuckled, like, you know, I tweeted this out last night too, but remember that lineup that Rob Pelinka said, you know, it was like the all shooting lineup.
Yeah.
And I was like, this can't be the serious thoughts of a president of basketball operations. That can't be the first lineup that you go to. And then I laughed.
Wasn't consulting with the Dodgers guys yet, so they'll give him some better ideas.
Yeah. Well, but I was laughing because, like, that was probably the moment to use that lineup, right? Like, where you... like you could you know, swap Ayton for Kennard there, and you could just have everybody just run to spots. Nobody jumps
out from wherever he hides, like when the team isn't up and like it's a, like during a national TV game. And he's like, that's the lineup. This is the time. Is it? I'm trying to tell you. My biggest op, Anthony Irwin, laughed at me.
But yeah, like the LeBron aspect of this and all of it, like, it makes me nervous. And look, like, the Lakers, I was looking at their schedule right before we went live, or right before we started recording, and their upcoming schedule, like, in the immediate term, does lend itself to, like, you know, does provide some opportunities for wins. So you have, you know, they have Phoenix, who is without Dylan Brooks and Jordan Goodwin. Then you have Golden State, who is, it would be funny if Steph returned now, but they haven't had Steph or Kristaps Porzingis for the last few games.
Then you have the Sacramento Kings, Steve Kerr was saying earlier this week, like, I don't think he's going to be back yet.
I think they're shutting both of those guys down. I think they're riding this out and getting as low in the standings as they can. Sacramento is after Golden State. Sacramento sucks. So, like, that's three win opportunities there. Then you play New Orleans, and they've been really bad this season, though. They just got DeJounte Murray back. Did you see DeAndre Ayton started over Derek Queen the other day? That was funny. But
DeAndre Jordan,
that's four win opportunities, and then you take on Denver, which is Denver. That is in Denver, and then you face Indiana, which should be a win. New York, tough game. Minnesota, tough game. Chicago rounds out the next 10. So, like, that's, I would say, like, seven. If they can win seven of their next 10, take care of business in the games. And that is one of the things that they have typically done this season, is, like, much lesser opponents they're able to take care of. So maybe they regain some hold of the rope here. But if they don't, like, really take advantage of this next slate, then you are looking at, like, 15 games to go and a Lakers team that might be checked out by that point. And it would be a real bummer, because, like, I thought they had an opportunity going into the season. I thought this team had done plenty to show the front office that they shouldn't, like, they were on a 50-win pace when they were when they got to the trade deadline. Like, I thought they did plenty to show the front office that it is worth investing in this group. And yet we arrive here anyway. I want to go back, to Lon Rosen's comments, like, as a result of all this. And it's like, cause I'm thinking at everything that is on Rob Pelinka's plate going into this offseason, probably going to have, seems like you're going to lose LeBron.
And by the way, if they do, I don't really blame him for that. You know, like, they have let, like, Rob, it's like you were talking about on the show with Pete, you know, it's like, when has Rob ever said over the last, like, several years, we would like LeBron to be here? Like, if he doesn't feel welcome and he's a foot out the door, that it's because Rob kicked him out the door.
Yeah. Rob opened the door. Like, Rob showed him, like, hey, man, here's the exits.
He's like, hey, just trying to be a courteous GM. Just wanted to open this up just in case you want to use it. We're all about star empowerment here. You know, I just want to make sure that you have all your options open. Like,
listen to Jeannie talk. It's like they're asking her point blank, would you want LeBron back? Well, you know, he hasn't told us either way. Like, just say yes.
Jeannie, I give a little bit more grace because she always seems very careful of not wanting to, like, you know, pressure or speak for stars or whatever. Like, that's not her job. She's not the GM, you know. And so I have a little bit more grace for her. But I think, like, Rob, it's just, like, it's sort of inexcusable that, like, at no point has he been, like, you know, because, like, every time they're like, do you want LeBron to retire here? He's like, yeah, we'd love LeBron to retire.
I think the other thing too, I'm probably gonna catch some heat for this.
Oh, here we go.
I think I'm ready for LeBron to go. Like, I don't think this Austin Luka LeBron thing is destined to work. I think everybody is kind of ready to move on. And like you said, and as I've said in the past, I totally understand LeBron being like, all right, fuck everybody here. Like, this sucks. You know,
LeBron is having the same thoughts that you're tweeting out. He's like, I hate this team.
I am hugely, hugely grateful for everything that LeBron has done for the Lakers. I completely disagree with Jeannie Buss and in those reports, who, you know, was annoyed that LeBron got so much credit for turning around the Lakers. He deserves all of the credit for turning around the Lakers. And if he does want to retire in a city or playing for a team that actually values him, then I think I that's what I want for him too. And you know, from a straight basketball standpoint, you know, I also think that the Lakers would benefit from moving on here, because I think at this stage of his career and this stage of his life, he can't do, like, the little things that the Lakers need him to do. You know, the rebounding, the defense, the backline defense and stuff like that. I don't think those are things that LeBron can do at this point. So I think everybody would benefit from moving on. And It's a bummer the way that this is ending, but it's always a bummer the way that things end. You know, it never ends the way that
it's
you
want. Almost never a storybook ending.
Mm-mm. Even like Kobe's last season was a drag for most of it.
Horrible. One of like the least enjoyable Lakers seasons ever. Outside of that final game, the final game almost made up for it because it was so awesome. But like that was
the final game is, you know, those are some of my fondest memories because it was like, you know, but it was great because everybody understood the assignment. But like it also kind of stunk to see Kobe play at the end of his career for a team that had zero chance whatsoever, none whatsoever, and was coached by Byron Scott. And you had all of that nonsense that came along with it. So like even there, you know, while everybody thinks about that final game, the season for the most part sucked. My mentions were always a tire fire because I didn't think anything was going well. And so like I kind of arrive here with like the LeBron thing. I do think we're probably watching the final, whatever it is, 24 games of his time with the Lakers. Plus maybe one in the playoffs. They'll probably lose in five in the first round. It just feels like such a wasted opportunity. Like not just this season, but the whole last 4 years have just felt like such a wasted opportunity. And the person responsible for wasting that opportunity is now in charge of building out the organization. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't like, it reminds me of The Departed when Matt Damon's character is telling Jack Nicholson, dude, they have me investigating myself. They put me in charge of finding the rat, you know. Rob Palenka is here. Like, dude, can you believe it, Genie? They have us in charge of modernizing the organization. Look at us go. Like, you know, it just drives me nuts. And then like, you know, I saw all throughout Twitter because people were like, oh, good. Thank goodness Magic isn't going to have an official role. Do you guys remember how Magic's tenure started with the Lakers last time? He was a consultant for Jim Buss. It was the exact same deal. I remember.
He's like, my advice is that we fire you.
Right. Guess what his advice is going to be on Rob Pelinka? So, by the way, I agree with. like I agreed with the advice to fire Jim Buss, but I want them to fire these people and actually go through like a search, a professional
and not hire the worst GM in Lakers history to replace him. You know,
what's that?
Like if they're going to get rid of Rob Pelinka, don't create the man who was so bad he made Rob Pelinka look like an upgrade. Like don't put him in charge.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right. What did you make of Lon Rosen's comments though? Like, do you take them the same way that I do where it kind of sort of feels like, oh no. We're just here. We're just here for support.
Yeah.
We're just here to help. You know, we want to help these people out the door. But like, how do you take it?
My first thought was that it sort of reminded me of when the owner or GM says, we're not going to fire the coach. It's like the kiss of death. Like the fact that you're answering the question means that you're going to fire the coach eventually. Like it's just, you know, it means it's gotten to that point that you're having to like desperately like say to the players, like, no, he's not going anywhere. We aren't going to pay him to not coach you. You have to try for this guy. Okay. And then they predictably don't do that. And they're like, okay, we got to fire Willie Green. It reminded me a little bit of that. And like, I actually take the Rob and Genie being in charge of building out the front office and modernizing it thing with a little bit of a grain of salt, or a little bit differently than I think it sounds like you do, in that, you know, if you are coming into a company and you're like, hey, Rob, you're still going to run this day to day, but like, we have a lot of thoughts on like where you need to make notes and like where you need to whatever. Like, Zaidi and Friedman, like, they don't need the credit for this or anything like that. Like, they're made men over on the Dodgers side. Like, if they're helping, it's only because, like, out of, you know, loyalty to Mark Walter and like that ownership group and whatever. And so it's like, they don't necessarily need the credit. They just need the Lakers to be better. And so, you know, the fact that there's all this talk of like he's going to be reporting to them, despite them having like no basketball experience and, you know, like having to run stuff. So like I took Rob's comments more as like, no, I'm still in charge. I'm still in charge. I'm doing what they say, but I'm still in charge. And it's like it's the guy, you know, that knows that he's like a dead man walking, but it's like trying to be like, no, but this is all my plan. And like, I wanted to modernize the organization. They aren't making me at all. I'm excited about this. You know, it's like, what else is he supposed to say? He's going to be like, no, they're actually like forcing me to hire more scouts, kicking and screaming. This sucks. I really don't want to, but you know, they're in charge, whatever. So like, that's how I took like the Rob and Jeannie, like are in charge of modernizing the front office. It's like, we know they're not, because they wouldn't be doing it if they were in charge of it. And so it's like, you know, they get to save face a little bit and, you know, like it, pretend like they're still running things and have their like official mascot positions. But like, I do think, and I think that they will have some level of power, but we know that this is not what they would be doing if it was totally under their control, because it was under their control and they weren't.
Yeah. It's like Pete says that they didn't do that because, you know, other siblings wouldn't okay the extra hirings, which I think is like, you know, I'm not going to ignore.
There's a degree of truth in that, I'm sure.
Yeah, like I think that like I'm not going to disregard somebody who worked for the organization explaining some aspects of the way that the organization worked. I've also, however,
common sense. I mean, there were siblings that just didn't care about basketball. So it's like, wait, no, I don't want to take 50 grand less or 500 grand less on my payout at the end of the year to help this stupid team that I don't care about. Like, yeah, like that makes total logical sense to me.
That said, I've also heard from people that I really trust on this who have said like, no, Rob doesn't like working with big circles. Like he's kind of like Neil Olshey in this standpoint that, you know, he wants all of this stuff to kind of bottleneck at him because it makes him more important to his employers. And there is,
which by the way, that has been a complaint about Rob since he and Magic came in. Like, and the circle has only gotten smaller since that point until now. Now it's obviously starting to expand again a little bit, but like the circle only got smaller. It was like, what mistake can I use to cut this person out of power and stuff like that?
Well, in the ways that this circle is growing, I don't think any of these people are who Rob Pelinka would hire if he had his choice, right? If he was forced to hire people. And
you don't think he would have hired Magic's agent?
Exactly. And I don't think he would have welcomed Magic back with open arms, given that Magic went on ESPN and called him a backstabbing snake. You know, like I don't think that would be something that Rob would do. So again, like I'm hoping to be wrong, but I continue to be skeptical. And it just brings me back to the final kind of bullet point here. Like he can't keep getting away with this. Like, think about everything riding on this upcoming offseason from an organizational standpoint, from a roster building standpoint, from like every which way that you could possibly look at it. This is like an absolutely vital time for the Lakers. And I don't know that I trust anybody who was like responsible for the decisions that are being made going into this upcoming transaction window. And on top of it, Harrison, the people who will be making these decisions going into this transaction window, I don't know that they're going to be around for very long, right? It sort of
mirrors the Jim Buss Mozgov Deng offseason. And it's like, exactly. Hey, you have a bunch of money to spend and your job's on the line. So good luck.
Right. And I have a story to tell you offline about that, but like there's a world where this offseason, this season they run out this season and it ends in whatever fart noise that it ends, and the LeBron era ends with whatever quite literal fart noise. If he gives that, I hope he gives that quote to Dave McMenamin again.
I actually think that's going to be Rob's statement on the way out You know, in the like LeBron, like it's going to be like, like we would like to thank LeBron James for all of his numerous contributions to the Lakers franchise, said Jeannie Buss, team governor, da 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 da. And then it's just going to go Rob Pelinka.
LeBron does the same thing, but he's like, make sure mine's in caps.
Yeah. Kobe better, Rob Pelinka said.
Could you imagine Rich Paul's podcast might actually be worth listening to if this is how this plays out. But like so let's say this season ends however it's going to end. LeBron pieces out to Cleveland, however it is that he pieces out to Cleveland. And this offseason doesn't live up to the expectations. Remember, the opportunity cost for aligning the stars the way that they did for this upcoming offseason is two trips to the postseason with prime Luka Doncic and a productive LeBron James. So in this offseason, what's that?
That you punted. Well,
also you punted on the end of the LeBron and AD era to arrive here too, which, you know, and like part
see,
of
see to me that feels different. Kind of, that's like part of the that's the previous plan. Like everything resets once they make the Luka trade, and so to me it's like you're more account because that couldn't have been foreseen or like planned for or whatever. And so you know they make that deal, and then so I think what really that all they're accountable for to me is like okay, this plan had better work because you did punt on two postseasons with prime Luka and LeBron, or not prime LeBron, but you know still pretty good LeBron.
Yeah, although I would say that like. I don't think you arrive at the books being this clean without years of preparation for
it. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So like I no matter how you feel about the end of the LeBron and AD era, like what really, really matters here is with a top five player entering his prime or in his prime, the Lakers have basically said like, no, just wait till X. And if X isn't executed to the nth degree, then all of this was also for nothing. And I don't like I said this on the pod yesterday. I haven't spoken Harrison to a single person who thinks that Rob Pelinka is like ready to pull this off, or that this Lakers front office is ready to pull this off. And it's like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because I'm talking to all of these people around the league and closer to the Lakers and stuff, and nobody seems confident that Rob Pelinka can pull this off. And that's why I'm like, he can't keep getting away with this, because this is yet another most important offseason in Lakers history, right? And the reason that they keep on stacking up like this is because the person who's in charge is perfectly content with spinning wheels. And I don't think that you just flip that switch and become a good GM.
So I think that the plan could work. Like there are elements to this that make sense to me. And so, you know, like they could go ahead and execute it. Is there a lot in his past that like gives me confidence that they're going to like, that they know have good intel on like the guy that we want is coming here and all of that? Like not necessarily. But like, I do think just from a purely logical perspective, the idea that like, if we are the only team trying to win now that also has a ton of cap space, we are going to be able to use that to our advantage this summer. Like that makes sense to me. And I think that they could do that. It's just a matter of who do they use that cap space on? And was it worth punting as much as they've thrown, like throwing away as much as they've thrown away, which is essentially the last two postseasons at least.
Yeah. Well, and part of it also, that
and I say last two, like this one like, hasn't even happened yet. That's how hopeless it is. Like we know that they're like already punting this postseason.
Yeah. Well, like part of what makes this even more frustrating is that like, we know that they're punting, but they didn't even punt well. They've shanked most of their punts. Like, yeah, you got the cap space that you needed.
They got to the 40, you know, like the it's just it's
yeah, you punted from your own 45 and the ball got to like the 35, you know, like it's annoying because like if you're gonna punt, then don't trade for Luke Kennard. You know, like if you're gonna punt, then like trade Rui for whatever draft compensation you can get to give yourself more ammunition for for the summer that you actually care about.
Trying to do this, like, we can't admit to Luka that we're punting totally. Like, we have to tell him that, like, send this message to him that, like, oh, no, we're trying to win for you. Don't worry, buddy. So we can't, like, do a full teardown because, like, obviously he's not going to green like that and be cool with, like, hey, let's just tank this year. But it's like, you know, they're trying to walk this line of, like, we don't want to invest anything to make this team worthwhile or give it a real shot. But we also, like, want these guys to go out and bust their ass. And like, I think, honestly, just thinking about this now, like, how much of this ties into – like, some of this is just the Lakers roster composition. They don't have a lot of these types of guys. But how much of their lack of, like, grit and toughness and fight is just a matter of, like, you know, they're like, we know that you don't believe in us and that you don't, like, we know this season isn't going anywhere. You've told us you don't care if it goes anywhere. And so why am I going to dive for a loose ball here if, like, you know, it doesn't matter?
Well, the Lakers are hoping that remaining employed in the NBA is enough to get people to, you know, to go that extra step, but they aren't doing it then for the Lakers. They're doing it for their career, you know? And I just think, like, you know, when we talk about, like, the lack of culture and the way that was put on display against the Celtics, like, this is the stuff that's why Harrison, I would respect the Lakers so much more if they did come out and say, yeah, we're tanking this season. We're trying to open up as much cap space as possible.
I think given the current climate with Silver, I don't think they're going to come out and say that, even if they were.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but like, even through their actions, right? Like, I would respect it so much more if they, because did you watch the new Thrones show?
Not yet. I'm going to binge it. I haven't watched it all yet.
Well, I won't give anything away, but it's been incredible. I have loved this show. And part of the reason that I have loved this show so much is because it is completely, like, it went into it and it was like, we are going to be weird. Like, we are going to, like, we know what show we want to make. We know what kind of characters we want to develop. We know what kind of tone that we want to have with this show. And we are going to go 150% at it. You know, like, there was a scene in the finale that, like, under normal circumstances, the music choice that they made would have just raised all kinds of alarm bells throughout Reddit. But instead, it was like this kind of, like, fun, sweet moment. It was like, huh, all right, sure, we'll take that genre in Game of Thrones. Why not? You know, and when you completely commit to whatever it is that you're doing, it makes it 150% more likely you're going to pull that off. Now, it also, you know, can ruffle feathers at times. And people who are, like, that kind of confident in who they are can sometimes, you know, create some friction there. But, like, I would just respect it so much more if they actually did that. But, like, as it stands right now, they didn't fully accomplish anything. We know that they didn't compete to the levels that they should have with Luka and LeBron. So you don't accomplish anything from a wins and losses standpoint in the playoffs. And then you also, you know, by way of not creating enough assets to really realistically, unless Giannis, like, forces his way to the Lakers, get involved in those conversations. So, like, what exactly was all this for? And like, this is the part of, like, the, you know, he can't keep getting away with this. He's been doing this two timeline thing without calling it the two timelines for years now, and here we go again with it. And what's the say, Harrison?
I would say it's the no timeline thing. It's the, like, we exactly are going, that's what two timelines are. Yeah, and, like, we are going to, you know, like, we're always looking to the future. It's always like, okay, well, you know, this season, like, we don't have an automatic guaranteed championship, and so it's not really worth it. And you just keep, and it's like, it's fine to do that every so often, but it's like, if that is constantly, if it's just like, hey, we're going to kick the can down the road, hopefully something works out this summer. And then we know that, like, if they don't get Giannis this summer and they don't, like, they aren't able to make good use of that cap space, we're going to hear the, like, well, you know, the Lakers want to evaluate this team of contract year guys and training camp. And, like, you know, they sort of believe that this team can be a little surprising and, like, you know, they want to evaluate the strengths and weaknesses around Luka. And then maybe at the trade deadline, they can add some. And then it's like, well, the trade deadline, like, ah, I don't know, this team might be a little too flawed, like, we got to wait for the summer to really fix the roster. And I just think that, you know, you're your subtitle is exactly right, because sort of on accident, I think, but I don't think he can keep getting away with this. I think that this is it. Like, I think that if Rob does not execute on like this plan, this is not an owner who has like this like life debt and like endless affinity for him. Like, I think he is just going to be gone. Like, if this is not working. Again, they're already making him report to baseball people. They can say whatever they want about we trust Rob and he's still in charge. Like, if you really thought, like, do you think Sam Presti would report to, like, baseball execs?
Probably not. I guess
they don't have to say, like, we think this guy's an idiot. They're just saying, like, we don't think that this guy has what it takes to modernize the organization the way we want to, so we're going to make him report to people who we think can, even if they're from a totally different sport.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that, like, it would be a real bummer if the cost of Pelinka getting fired is missing out on all of this opportunity cost to arrive at this offseason, and this offseason also not going well. Because then it's like, from a from my perspective, it's like, yeah, we won, but at what cost? You know, like,
I mean, I hope their plan works. You know, me too. That would be better for me, for you, for the Lakers, you know, like, for my mental health, for our enjoyment. Like, you know, it would be great if this plan works. And, like, I hope it does. And then, you know, if it does work, then, hey, credit to Rob. But, like, if it doesn't, I don't think that there's going to be credit to Rob. I don't think that it's going to be like, well, you know, we got to give him another couple cycles to figure out, like, how he can utilize this cap space. I think it is going to be, like, you know, the rubber is going to hit the road here one way or the other. And whether that's, like, him fired or him having, like, a new pseudo boss, or it's just, like, a much more expanded room of a lot more basketball people, like, it's the Rob Pelinka solely in charge is not going to be a thing anymore if this plan does not work out, if it even still is going to be a thing in that case.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Rich guys don't buy the team to let the former owner run it. I'm sorry. Like, Jeannie can say that she's still in charge, but Mark Walter is going to be calling the shots.
Yeah, and to a certain extent already he has, right? Like, I don't think Tim Harris would be fired. I'm sorry. Would be retiring. Yeah,
he wasn't fired. He just announced he was resigning, and then they announced someone to his current job immediately. He wasn't fired.
No, you might be right, and I hope that all of this, like you said, I hope that all of this does play out, because at the end of the day, like, it's like I said the other day on the show, I have never been like a player specific fan. Often to my own derision, like online, like, I am fully focused on the Lakers, and what is actually best for the Lakers is Rob somehow miraculously pulling this off, having a great off season, and then retiring afterward. but like, I just remain kind of skeptical because, you know, of recent events.
Well, Mark Walter is a businessman first and foremost. And it's like, you know, I think sometimes we get too caught up in what people are saying and what, like, message is being conveyed to the public, where, like, you know, he is like, yeah, he can say, like, Jeannie is going to get to continue to run things and we love Rob and we trust Rob and whatever, because that's what got the deal across the finish line, to get the team that he wanted, to then put in the people in place that he wants to put them in place. And they're already doing it on the business side. And I think that we're going to see a similar result on the basketball side soon. And they're going to, you know, they're going to sell it as like, oh, you know, no, Rob wanted us to hire a super president of basketball operations. He just felt like that would really empower him. You know, he just wanted to go back to actually like the VP of basketball operations. He wanted a president above him. Rob, you know, he just felt like that was a better fit for his skill set.
Well, I was like, you know what? My office was too big before.
I really want to move into a consultant role, is how I'm feeling about it. Like, right now, I just want to focus on my family. You know, and I just really want to consult for this team, and just, I wish them the best. You know, again, like, that, all this stuff, Jeannie is gonna get to continue to go to the games and sit courtside and say that she's the governor of the Lakers for the next however long. But, you know, again, Mark Walter did not pay the however much of the $10 billion he actually paid to acquire the stake of the team to sit back on the sidelines and just let it be like a mom and pop operation. We're already seeing that. And I think that, like, regardless of what they're saying, like, I don't think that there's just this endless rope for these people to continue to like have for security.
Yeah. And like this also needs to be pointed out. A lot of the people that Mark Walter would be hiring here are currently employed, you know? So like, it makes it kind of difficult to like, be like, yeah, here's our full plan, when that plan might involve somebody who currently works for another team. There are also executives who are out there who, like, you know, whether it's Bob Myers or Masai Ujiri or whatever, who could step in and help as well. I have always found it really interesting that Masai, like, there hasn't been any whiff of him, like, being linked to any team since he
was. Well, you've heard the rumor, right?
No.
The rumor is, like, he thinks that he's getting one of the expansion jobs.
Oh. That would also make sense. But either way, like, him never being linked to another team since, being let go by Toronto, like, it's always kind of stuck out there. And he was very interested in the Lakers gig the last time it appeared to be open. So
Based on the sort of end of his run in Toronto, I think I'm good. But,
Well, I like it as like the super front office, because that's what that's what the Dodgers did.
We aren't going to hire one GM. We want five GMs.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. And like, yes. Please, because that's what they do. Is they basically have this like war room of GMs or former GMs or GMs to be, and they sit there and they talk baseball all day and they talk Dodgers stuff all day. Like, one of the funniest responses that I saw, because I was like, hey, I'm a little nervous of, you know, the extent of Dodgers involvement here during Dodgers season. And people are like, oh, please, they just coast right now this time of year. It's like, you don't become the juggernaut that the Dodgers are by coasting ever.
Anthony, like, they won two titles in a row. You're fine. You're fine. Okay. Like, they can coast a little bit as a treat and focus on the Lakers for the first half.
It's no, just man,
like
they're
an extra
they're,
challenge. They're going on side quests right now. They're like, raise my rent, Mark Walter. Make it harder for me to.
No, but like, listen to Dave Roberts talk, man. I've already really focused on this.
Let me win basketball too.
Yeah. All right. This has been fun. I feel a little bit better than I did.
Can I make one last point before we hop off on Rob? Yeah. And like I've been critical of Luka this week, you know, mostly in text messages to you and others. And like, I was very annoyed during the Sunday game. And like, yeah, you know, I saw that I wasn't the only one. Like, Zach Lowe had a rant about like Luka becoming unwatchable and like how much he's complaining to the refs. I know our friend Daman, you know, has not enjoyed every single aspect of the Luka experience. And like, I just want to say that like, as annoying as some of that stuff is, like, I really wish that the Lakers had someone in power that was not like afraid of him, because like the thing that Kirk was always talking about when Luka came aboard was like, you know, this Nico stuff of like, you know, even if you have these criticisms of this guy, if you never bring them to him, then you're just a coward and you're just like talking shit behind his back and like you're not actually helping him, giving him an opportunity to improve or get better or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
nobody benefits from that.
It shouldn't be on Brian Windhorst to like call out Luka for like his lack of like transition defense in the finals. Like, there should be somebody in the organization that is willing to do that, you know, and like hold him to account. And like, I really wish that the Lakers were run by someone that I had any level of faith that he was willing to have like a hard conversation with Luka about like, hey, maybe you can't yell at the refs like every single possession. You know, it's like sort of counterproductive. Here are the reasons why it's counterproductive. Here are the ways that it's filtering down to your teammates. Like, you are obviously like an MVP candidate. You are an incredible player. You need to stop doing this stuff. And like, I just don't trust that there's anyone there that is going to do that. And I really wish that the Lakers were not run by a guy who was GMing as if he was trying to prove Nico right for trading Luka and was instead trying to maximize Luka.
Yeah,
because Luka is not being set up for success right now. Like, as annoying as the complaining of the ref stuff is, like, this roster exacerbates a lot of his weaknesses. And I get it, they're going to need time to turn that over and make it a Luka-centric roster. And part of this offseason is hopefully part of that. But it's like, you know, if you're going to have, like, you can't have a whole slow, unathletic team around him and then just be like, why isn't Luka getting back in transition? It's like, well, because even if he does, he's going to get his ankles broken and, you know, get scored on anyway.
Well, it would be funny if he was sitting there, like, while he's complaining to, while he's yelling at a referee, he's yelling in any other language that he speaks. But he's like, why haven't the Lakers given me a lob center? Why am I stuck with DeAndre Ayton? He's like screaming. Yeah. He's like, you know, his hands are up at the referee and it's just like, I understand lashing out at the closest person who gives you a little frustration. When that time comes, but yeah, I, it is something that, like, culturally speaking, you know, JJ at some point is going to have to coach his stars. And
he's supposed to be the guy that can do this, you know? And yeah, so, like, I won't see it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's an off-season thing. Maybe that's we revisit this and we say, hey, this summer we're really focused. Last summer it was your diet. This summer we're really focused on, like, what can you do on the court to make yourself, like, the fully actualized version of Luka and make yourself just that extra 5 to 10% better that gets you the MVP and whatever. And, like, one of those things is maybe just, like, just yelling at the refs like every other play, you know? Sometimes or running, like, back in transition.
Four fewer mid-range jumpers when nobody else has touched the ball, you know, stuff like that. But yeah,
last night is the time to tell him to hesitate on shots more, but I take your point.
I guess that's true. Yeah. All right. I have to run to take Miles to OT. Thank you, Harrison, for hopping on here on short notice to make this work today. A reminder, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that rate and review button if you guys are listening in podcast form. You guys will be listening to this on podcast form on Thursday morning, which means Thursday night the Lakers play an away game, which means Raj and I will be here to break that down. So, and that will probably carry us through the rest of the week's episodes here. So have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'm going to talk to you guys tomorrow.